Today's readings from Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21. Also, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Ephesians 6. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Thanks be to God for the reading of this word.
Well, as we've heard, we're continuing with our series on stewardship. It comes around every year, and it comes around every year for a reason, because being a steward requires constant reflection. It's an important and loaded word for us, especially when it comes to our faith. We've heard the definition before, that stewardship is the responsible planning and management of resources on behalf of another. And that's the key point about stewardship. The management of our time and our talents and our money. Because all of those things really belong to God. And today we're continuing our focus on the stewardship of time. Last week we talked about the importance of balancing our time, or more broadly, the importance of a balanced life. As Christians, we must pray and think long and hard about how we use our time. And whether we like it or not, we must also consider what the use of our time tells others about what is important to us. To put it simply, on the nose, does the usage of our time reflect our discipleship to Jesus? And when we think of time, most of us think about chronological time. And the older we get, maybe we think more and more about chronological time and how fast it seems to pass. We have many ways of measuring time, don't we? One of my favorite expressions so far in Scotland, when I'm asked to wait for something, how long does people say it will take? Just 2 seconds. It's quite impressive, right? Just 2 seconds. And I think one, two. It's one of those fun expressions. Just wait a little bit, I think, is what it's trying to say. I choose to take it literally. But my diary is filled with many different divisions of time, and I'm sure the same is true for everyone else as well. When we think about stewardship and time, it's easy to think we're simply asking, how do we use the 24 hours of each given day? What kinds of things have priority in our schedules? And that is certainly a huge and important part of what it means to be stewards of time. But that's far from the whole picture. It's all too easy to become obsessed with time. It's easy to make time into our God. So much of our Western culture is founded on such a belief. It's also easy to fall into the trap, as we heard last week, of thinking of God as some sort of cosmic bean counter who is waiting to lecture us about how we did or did not use our time on such and such day of such and such year. Now, Scripture says God is our Lord and our judge, and to be sure, we are accountable to him for how we live. But a balanced, God-centered life does not mean casting ourselves into an endless spiral of anxiety, fear, and overwork, waiting for the hammer to fall. No, a God-centered, balanced life means following a rhythm of life that is commanded by God, shown to us by Jesus. A balanced life, a God-centered life, means making time for worship, time for work, time for service, for rest, for time with others, for time alone, and even some time for play. This point, I think, has to be stressed. Maybe we often feel like we have not used our time well in the past. Maybe we are sitting here today worried what God thinks of past decisions. Like somehow how we have or have not used our time in the past disqualifies us from future participation in God's plans. But I would think that's not how God sees it, according to Scripture. One of my favorite parables that Jesus told was the parable of the 11th hour worker. We've heard this one before, I think. We know how this parable goes, right? There's a man in the field who needs work done, so he calls workers to his field. Some show up at the start of the working day. Some show up midday. The day goes on. More people show up to work. And finally, at the next to last hour of the working day, in our culture, it'd be like showing up for work at 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon, and you're done at 5. One more person shows up then to work for a little bit, and then after everyone's done working for the day, wages are handed out, right? And we would normally expect the person who showed up first in the working day to get the largest sum. They put the most work in, right? Is that what happens? No. What happens to the one who showed up at 4:30? Gets the exact same wage. Is that fair? No. Thank God it's not fair. Thank God that God's grace is not fair. It is not fair. It is grace. It gives us more than we deserve. And that parable tells us that even those who show up late, who maybe dithered around in the town square instead of going to work as they ought to, they still show up. They still are received. They're still welcome to participate in God's plan. Do you hear what I'm saying? That even if we feel like we haven't used our time well, if we show up at all, God welcomes us. God uses us. God redeems us. God views time differently than we do. The New Testament actually has a few different words which we all translate as time. And this is a pity since the actual meanings of the words in the Bible are quite diverse. One word for time is chronos. We can guess that this refers to chronological time, the tick-tock of the watch. This is how most of us tend to think about time. Something to be divided up, measured, balanced, and that's an important part of time. But there's another word in Scripture that talks about time, and that word is kairos. We say that, kairos. Outside of my hometown in Spokane, Washington, there's a Roman Catholic monastery, and its name of it is Kairos House. I like that a lot because kairos refers to appointed time. Appointed time. People go to Kairos House to set chronological time aside and to focus on what God is saying to them in that moment. So kairos is appointed time. In the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus first announces his ministry, he says, "The time is near, the kingdom is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." He's saying the kairos time is near. God's appointed time is near. And I think the writers of the Bible were far more concerned with kairos than they were with chronos, time. And this morning's reading from Ephesians that Martin read for us a few moments ago, Paul's quite concerned with encouraging believers in Ephesus and elsewhere to live in a manner consistent with the gospel. The scripture says, as we heard in verse 15, watch carefully how you live, or more literally, watch carefully how you walk, not as unwise people, but as those who are wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That's what scripture says. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, which word for time do you think Paul is using? Chronos? Show of hands for Chronos. Kairos? Yes. Yes, indeed. Other translations of this verse say, as those with wisdom, make the most of the time. Redeem the time. Make the most of God's given moment. I like that translation a lot. Make the most of God's given moment. Kairos coincides with God's action. Kairos is when God's spirit is on the move, when God is guiding us, when God is teaching us something about him, when God is calling us as the body of Christ into action. One of my favorite movies makes reference to Kairos. I didn't realize it till well after I saw the movie. But who here has ever seen The Shawshank Redemption? Quite a few. Good show, isn't it? One of my favorites. Most of us know the story about the character of Andy Dufresne, played by the great Tim Robbins, who was wrongfully incarcerated for a crime he did not commit at Shawshank Prison. And while in prison, he befriends Ellis Red Redding, who is played by the equally great Morgan Freeman, who has the best speaking voice in the world as far as I'm concerned. He can just read the phone book, and it'd be wonderful. Dufresne's in prison for many years, punished for the crime he did not commit. And in prison, it seems like one long stretch of chronos time, just the endless ticking of the watch, punctuated by the occasional hearing for and refusal of parole. Other than that, just one long march, slowly getting older. But one day, Dufresne had a revelation. After a rush of particularly cruel treatment by the warden of the prison, Dufresne realized he could not continue to measure his life by that slow tick of chronos time, just allowing life to pass him by. And in one particularly dramatic scene, after he gets out of, I think, 2 months of solitary confinement, something horrific, Dufresne declares to his friend Red that he must get busy living or get busy dying. Get busy living or get busy dying. His life had come to a critical juncture. That moment where he realized that, I think, was an example of a Kairos moment for that character. And lest I spoil the rest of the movie for you, let's just say that that moment led to a significant change in Dufresne's life. Each day of our lives can be measured in chronos time. But the gospel encourages us to view our lives in Kairos time, in God's moments, in God's time. What makes life meaningful is not the number of days that we have. What makes it meaningful is how we hear and respond to the Kairos moments that are woven into each and every day. Just before church today, and I'm veering off script here, I saw a story about a young man who grew up practicing the Islamic faith. But when he was in university, he encountered a young Christian man. And over a course of a couple years, endless debates and discussions, this other man won him to the Christian faith. He baptized him into the faith. And he became a powerful apologist and defender of the Christian faith. He wrote several books about his experience being a convert to the Christian faith. All right? A life powerfully used by God. And then just earlier this year, this same young man who was converted was diagnosed with terminal stomach cancer. He passed away yesterday at the age of 34. very young, right? So we could say on one hand, that's too short, not enough time. But look at how he used his life with the time that he had. Yes, he didn't get as much chronos time as everyone else, maybe. But the kairos time was well used by him to bring others to faith in Jesus Christ. Kairos time is more important than chronos time. It is how we hear and respond to the kairos moments that define the quality of our lives. Each of us is called to be a steward of what God gives to us. And time is one of those things over which we must exercise our office of stewardship. In our text from Ephesians, Paul tells us that we must redeem the kairos time. And being a steward of this kind of time is not about a minute-by-minute accounting of our lives. Being a steward of our time is about living into and redeeming those kairos moments, those moments in which God is calling us to embrace opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. It is about a posture of living that is not enslaved to the clock, but instead seeks after God's timing and God's plans for our lives. But we're also warned, as Paul says, that the days are evil. He says, redeem the time because the days are evil. What does this mean? Why does Paul say this? I think it means that these kairos moments of redemption will not happen all by themselves. It means that just as God is at work in the world today, there are also other forces at work in the world trying to destroy, stop, or distort God's ongoing work of redemption. The world is not a neutral place, is what the Bible tells us. There is a real, lasting, spiritual battle going on all around us all the time. We cannot live into the kairos moments all by ourselves. By ourselves, we have no ability to redeem anything, not even a second of one day. We always, always need God's help to recognize, live into, and redeem those kairos moments that God gives. In Ephesians 6, we hear Paul say, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might, not your own, but in the might of the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. There it is again. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. And Paul goes on to talk about this armor as the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, for our feet, the readiness of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Friends, we cannot redeem and live into these kairos moments alone. We are locked in a struggle against ourselves, against these evil powers. We need prayer. We need faith. We need each other. But more than anything else, We need God's help to redeem the time that we have. Each day is filled with small kairos moments. Each day contains the seeds of redemption for us and for others. May each of us watch how we live. May each of us put on the full armor of faith. And with that armor, with God's help, may each of us be stewards of our time and redeem the kairos moments that God is pouring into each of our lives. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the many Kairos moments of each day. Thank you for the time that you give to each of us. Help us, Lord, to rely on your strength to live as your people. Help each of us in our lives, in our own way, in our own worlds, in our own sphere of influences, help us to redeem the time that you give to us. Help us to know that even now, you, Lord, are reconciling the world to yourself. Help us to know that you're calling us to participate in your ongoing work of redemption. Lord, help us to redeem the time for your glory. Amen.